56 people on this day 30 years ago went to a football match and didn't come back. More than 250 others were injured in one of the biggest disasters at a British football ground. Of course, it happened at Valley Parade, the home of Bradford City, the Bradford Fire, which happened 30 years ago. There is going to be a remembrance ceremony happening a little bit later on today in Bradford. And we're going to be chatting about what actually happened that day and the memories of that day with two of the players that were involved in that game. And first of all, joining us is John Hendry. Morning, John.
Morning, Dom.
And also with us this morning is Greg Abbott. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Darren.
First of all, John, if I come to you, because on that day, sort of when you were going into that, it was a very much a celebratory game, wasn't it, that 11th of May, because you were being presented with the Division 3 Championship.
Yeah, that's right. Bearing in mind, I mean, the City fans up until then, they hadn't really had much to celebrate in the years prior to that. So we had a very, very good year, and a lot of young boys in the team as well. And we took the division by storm and thoroughly deserved to win it. So it was a day of celebration. We were all going down there to receive our medals, receive the third division title, which we did do before for some reason prior to the game. So it was a day of jubilation. I mean, all those 10,000 plus fans came to celebrate their team being successful. And so, on one hand, it was jubilation. Then, 45 minutes later, it was just a nightmare.
Greg, at what point did you realise that there was a problem here?
Well, I think it was one of the Lincoln players actually pointed out that there was a little, and it wasn't little, a little bit of a commotion in the stand, and a little bit of flames. And I think at first there was a little bit of smiles and on the pitch saying, you know, the fans are up to a little bit, and you know, hijinks and getting a bit excited with the day, you know. And so it was like not taken too seriously. Let me tell you, within about 15 seconds only, it was taken seriously, because all of a sudden, from people thinking it was hijinks, it realised that this was going to get serious. And I've never seen anything quite so dramatic in terms of the way it spread and hit the roof and then shot across the top, you know. So from us all sort of, you know, like John said, looking to celebrate, looking to be all in good spirits, and even that the first indication was this isn't serious. Wow, it was an absolute wow. And I'm on about 15 seconds later, people are then screaming and fighting for survival. Everybody, even people on the pitch, you know, looking at what was going on and in absolute desperation to try and do something about it. So it just went so quickly.
John, from an outsider's point of view, I cannot even comprehend what that must have been like being there that day. I would imagine it's probably difficult to even put it into words.
It's your worst nightmare scenario. I mean, in respect, when sort of we're out in the street, I mean, the players have still got their kit on, they're still in their football boots. And we're outside, and it's just a thick black smoke, the heat of the fire, the emergency services sirens. But the biggest thing was the screaming and crying of sort of mums and dads, grandparents, children, all searching for their loved ones, because everyone was split up and they had no idea where their loved ones are. So it was just an absolute chaotic situation, and everyone was just shocked and stunned by it all. From that, as Greg mentioned, hijinks there, but after that, we thought, what's happened? What's going on here? And it wasn't until later on that we didn't even know there was fatalities. We had to congregate eventually at the pub at the top of the road in Manningham Lane, and even then we were just in total shock. We thought, well, everyone's got out okay, because I mean, in those days, there was no sort of not the same media coverage as such, but it was just your worst nightmare, and you couldn't have imagined for something like that. Terrible.
Greg, as you said, John says there, the players congregated, I think it's a pub round the corner. What was, I mean, the atmosphere obviously was probably down in that pub, but it's the not knowing of what. Eventually had come out, although which I would imagine would have been really, really harrowing.
Well, John's right. We were informed, I think it was the head of the fire service that sort of had got messaged through. It was all second and third hand that nobody had, no, there was no fatalities. So we were all sort of relieved a little bit. But then we were no different to the fans, to be honest. We had brothers, sisters, mums, dads, wives, girlfriends, all there. And a lot of our families actually didn't know the ground as well as the local supporters, you know, the fans, because they'd just travelled for the day of celebration. Some of my friends had come from Coventry, were there for the first time. So when reality had set in and you hadn't found your wife or your girlfriend or your mum or your dad or your brother, I think people started to panic again. And then I would think it would be maybe about an hour after it all happened that somebody said one person's got stuck, one person's been, you know, has lost his life. So reality started to check in then. And when from what we've seen on the pitch, when that one person was announced that they thought that he, you know, they'd lost a life, I just thought to myself, there must be more. There must be more. Not everybody could have got out there, and people didn't know where they were going. So it was a scramble then to find out where your own people were. And like we were like the fans then, because we didn't know where our families were. A lot of our families, I didn't see my dad, because my dad's such a guy. He was trying to help people. So my dad, I didn't see my dad for an hour afterwards. And I'm wandering around wondering where he is. Is he caught up in it, or is he just helping people? So everybody was just fraught with the worst case scenario. Everybody, and the players and the staff were no different to the. So everybody was in the same boat. Everybody was frantic to find out where all the loved ones were.
John, how difficult is it to? I mean, after something like that happens, and you're involved in such close quarters with something like that, how hard is it to then get back to playing football, or was it easier to get back to playing football because it was something to take your mind off it?
Well, it put everything in perspective. It changed, certainly changed my outlook after that. I mean, where I was one of them, if I had a bad game in, I would sort of take it back and be sulking for days and end and what have you. But after that, it makes you a stronger character as such, and you think, okay. Football secondary to life, and that's the way that I looked at after that. So, and in those days as well, there's no such thing as counselling. Nowadays, you've got all the counselling services which is provided for all the victims or people who've been involved in a situation. But we never had that in those days. I mean, we just had to sort of get on with it together. And I don't mean just the players. I mean everyone involved with the football club, the supporters as well. And as a result of that, we took comfort from it. Each and every one of us took comfort from one another because we had to live with it together. And I think it's, Greg will agree with me, to this day, I mean, just the togetherness, when you go down to Bradford City and that team, the supporters, it was just, to this day, it just sort of, we're still so much a close-knit family and such when we go there. And that was all from we all mourned together. We did, and we had to get on with it together. So it just gave you an outlook in life and say, right, okay, football's secondary. There's more to it than that.
Greg.
Yeah. He's bang on. No, listen, Johnny, there, he's bang on. The comfort was. The unity that was produced because of that, and I'm not talking players, I'm talking about the players, I'm talking about the staff, I'm talking about the supporters, I'm talking about everybody connected with the club grew together, and we're still welcome down there. Johnny's a legend anyway because he was a great player. I wasn't great, but we're all sort of classed as one. That group is sort of classed as one, and whatever happens at the club, I think there's still reference to the ground being miles better than it ever was, the team being better than it ever was, the facilities. And I think, for me, the comfort I got is that's all down to the people that didn't come home that day. It's all a sort of reference to them that the club is so united, so tight, and still the memory will never be forgotten. They're never ever going to be forgotten, and that is what the good thing about that club is, and the togetherness that's since been shown from the football club is a testament to the people that never come back.
As the amount of time, obviously, I mean, say obviously that the time heals most things, but with the amount of time, and now 30 years ago that this had happened and the memorial service happening, around this time of year, does it get tough? Because obviously, you know, people like me always want to sort of talk about it and remember it. Does it help or hinder when, you know, every year you're sort of having to sort of like remember exactly what happened on that day?
Well, I look at it and I think those people should never be forgotten. And when we speak to people in the media, I'll just say to them, I says, listen, I mean, as long as we're respectful, as long as we're dignified, because there's still a lot of mourning in Bradford. If your child went out to fight Afghanistan, Iraq, and they don't come back, you're mourning. You've got to live with that the rest of your life. And that's still the case with a lot of families in Bradford. They've got to live with that forever. So that's why we've always got to be respectful and dignified and pay our respects, but in the right manner, in the right way. And I think the club gets it right as well. They don't go overboard on it. Because they are conscious of how the victims' families are still dealing with it. And I just say respectful and dignified. That's the words about the situation today.
Greg, what are your thoughts going forward?
Well, I mean, it's funny. It's the first thing I said today. You know, I was sat here with Sally. We're getting up for breakfast. The first thing I said, your date is today. She went, yeah, and she knows what it meant to me. And It's sort of the team and the group don't really talk about it together. It's other people that want to know what happened, and it's sort of not brought up that often. It's never forgotten. Let me tell you, it's never forgotten. But it's not something that, I mean, I'm sure John and myself could go a long, long period without even speaking about it. That then someone say, well, did you play that day? You know, when obviously the Hillsborough thing and other things, and then the Bradford thing sorted up. But I think, just going forward, I think everything that Bradford sort of achieves and how successful they've been, and they've been fantastically successful the last couple of years, for me, that's my way of remembering the people that supported the club and didn't quite make it. You know, that it's all, for me, down to them. I go every time I go to Bradford, I always go to the to where the names are engraved, the little monument by the ground, and just have a couple of minutes to myself and think how lucky I am and how lucky my family were. You know, and it's just... it's just one of them things that the group that were involved will never ever forget, and never probably be allowed to forget. But I think we're all respected that people don't give us a hard time about it in terms of the questions. They're very, very polite and respectful. And I think that's the way that we take it forward, the massive respect and success that's brought to the club. We always have one thought for them people.